Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. Joining me now from the Northern Virginia Area Labor Federation, we've got Dan Duncan. Dan, welcome back.
Well, hey there. Glad to be back.
Brother, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. You know, I'm calling you like the day before you're having labor night at the Nats. Just out of curiosity, how's that going?
Oh, my gosh. It's another fantastic one. This is our 10th season doing this with the Washington Nationals. And once again, we are the single largest game, the largest single game ticket sale, 7,000 tickets. Union members will be wearing their shirts and their caps tomorrow night and showing their union pride as we go seats all over the stadium.
You know, Dan, every time you talk about this, you get a twinkle in your eye and a giggle and a little bit of extra kick in your step there. This is a lot of fun for you, but it's a lot of fun for union families too.
It's something we started doing years ago in Northern Virginia with the local minor league team before we had the Washington Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a throwback. We work with the Nationals to get a discounted ticket for all of $10. Yeah, you're not going to sit behind home plate, but you're able to go into see a Major League Baseball game for $10. $1 of each ticket that we sell comes back to the Community Services Agency, our not-for-profit group, and it gives parents a chance to take their kids, their family to the ball game at a price that they can afford.
Yeah, and you know, I got to tell you, my family were huge hockey fans, and here in Pittsburgh with the Penguins, they've got the family section, and they do the same thing. It's a reduced price ticket, good seats, not great seats, but you know, they're good seats, and you know, it's something that the Penguins have been doing for years to make it nice for the community and for families to come out. So hats off to the Nats for working with you on this. 7,000 tickets, huh?
7,000 tickets. Except for one year, a couple years ago, we have been the largest one, and I can still remember when we first proposed this in 2007. That's when they were playing at the old RFK Stadium, and the person we were dealing with was somebody we had worked with for years with the old Prince William Cannons minor league team, where we'd sell a couple hundred seats, and yeah, they, minor league baseball was thrilled with it. So when Brian went to his bosses and said, "I need 5,500 seats," and they said, "For what? The rest of the season?" He says, "No, for one night." Wait a minute, you're kidding, 5,500? And we basically had a patchwork of union shirts from the left field foul pole to the right field foul pole in the outfield. And for when Josh Williams of the D.C. Labor Council, Kathy McCurchy of the Community Service Agency, and I stepped onto the field for the pregame ceremony, we looked up, and that was one beautiful patchwork. And every year since then, the Nationals have worked their tails off to find us a game during the summer months when kids are out of school that we can do this.
Yeah, well, there you go. And Dan, hats off to you guys for doing such a great job. And it does support the community also because this is going into the community services, yeah?
Exactly. Our funds to help out union members if they get laid off. Or in fact, the last time we really had to call into service was during the Verizon strike,
right?
To help out our CWA members in this area.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, trust me, by the time the community services gets done with it, $7,000 goes a very, very long way. So,
Kathy's done a wonderful job with this over the years. She's his executive director, and hats off to her and all the people that work with her.
Yeah, absolutely. Now all we got to do is start betting on Congress, right? Yeah. There you go.
Especially after what's been happening this week, but hey, you know, we'll let the pundits deal with that. We're just gearing up in Northern Virginia for, and I know this will surprise you, our annual get out the vote effort.
Imagine that. I mean, because you guys have you guys have elections every year.
Every year. You know, we never get out of practice. We're already getting stuff in shape. And of course, we have the major, major fight this year, not just with the presidential and congressional races, but some of our, how should we say this politely, dear friends in the Republican legislature place a constitutional amendment on the ballot to add right to work to the state constitution, even though it's been state law since 1947.
Really?
Yep.
Did anybody bother to remind them of that?
Well, we did many times, and they thought they were being so clever that they would get it on next year's ballot when it's just statewide races, and the governor and lieutenant governor when the voting turnout's down. And then when they realize how they wrote it, it has to be on in the presidential year, and they're like, uh-oh, what did we do? Well, they woke up the giant. Labor all across the state has been working with the Democratic Party and with local civic groups, Hispanic groups, the NAACP, and others to call attention to this, that if they want to start adding little things like this to the Constitution, what will be next? So we've got a major, major effort. It's going to be Constitutional Amendment number one, and all across Virginia, it is no on one, no on one when they go to vote on November 8th.
No on one. There you go.
That's it. We're going to make it very simple. Granted, none of us like right to work, but we don't have the power right now to get it out of the state law, but we can keep it out of the state constitution. This is something that was funded by the Koch brothers and all their ilk, and we don't need that in Virginia.
Just how many of the Republican lawmakers at the state level have the Koch brothers threatened to, you know, hey, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to primary you?
Who the heck knows? A lot of them just follow right in step with them, and it's amazing how ALEC bills and Koch brother bills just show up verbatim in the hopper whenever the legislature returns to Richmond in January.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to tell you, you know, it seems to be getting easier and easier to get those identified for the public. The public is really starting to understand what they are, and they're coming out against them.
It is, and quite frankly, this is a waste of almost $1 million of taxpayers' fund for something that's already happening, something that doesn't need to be done. I mean, the state constitution shouldn't have to be changed willy-nilly because somebody from Kansas or someplace else decides that they want it in our constitution. It's just the wrong thing at the wrong time, and we're going to be fighting hard to defeat this.
Dan, I don't know what to tell you, but I don't think they understand who they're coming up against.
They've woken us up. I mean, this is an election where we've got, especially in Northern Virginia, where some of the congressional races are running unopposed, but now they've woken us up to get us out to vote, and we couldn't thank them, can't thank them enough.
There you go. And, you know, that was one of the other questions I was going to ask you. More and more younger people getting involved with it this year?
We are working on that. We've got a wonderful group called our Young Emerging Labor Leaders. They've been reaching out like crazy, doing different things, non-traditional union meeting type things, which is great to get them involved and get them active. And we're seeing more and more of them now getting involved with the Labor Council, and that's exactly what we are looking forward to, the next generation coming up.
There you go. That is a wonderful thing. Dan, we got about a minute left. Anything else we should be talking about today?
There's so much, Charles. I mean, where can we leave it after what we've been seeing the last three nights out of Cleveland, Ohio? I mean, the attacks on working people and on our issues and our ideas have just been unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And if you tried to write this as a novel, nobody would read it because they wouldn't believe it.
Dan, I mean, how the heck do you invite somebody to come speak at your convention where, you know, and let's face it, a convention is supposed to be 4 days of advertising for the candidate. You know, it's supposed to be, hey, you know, this is our candidate, and you know, pay attention and look at this. And, you know, how can you invite somebody to your convention and not vet their speech and just allow them to get up there and say, well, you know, I'm not going to endorse this guy, but we need a candidate with integrity.
All I can think of, Charles, is isn't this the guy that claims he wrote a book called The Art of the Deal, and I'm going to be huge, I'm going to be the greatest negotiator, you're going to see the greatest deals, the greatest negotiations. Well, if he negotiated this deal with Ted Cruz, woo, are we in for a ride?
Yeah, we are definitely in for a ride, that is for sure. But folks, you know, I got to tell you, Don't let me change your mind. Do your own fact check and figure it out for yourself. But in the meantime, Dan, we've got to get going. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And stay cool, everybody. I know what kind of a heat wave we've got going.
Yeah, there you go. Dan Duncan of the Northern Virginia Area Labor Federation. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.